The resurrection of Jesus happened once and for all on that morning in the secret of the tomb when Jesus came out of the tomb with the angels as the only witnesses. Our resurrection takes place in time and unfolds and is ongoing. And we can say that that resurrection has two movements. One that is experiencing and letting Christ in, the resurrection of Christ into our lives. And that's what we do by encountering him in the sacraments and in the word and in community and in so many ways that we encounter the risen Christ in our daily lives. But the second movement is quite as important, is that of expressing the resurrection of Christ in our lives, to begin to live a more risen life, a more resurrected life in our lives. And that is letting Christ out and his resurrection impact every single area of our lives. St. Paul, when speaking about this, he spoke about the fruits of the Holy Spirit that are almost the depiction of what it means to live a resurrected life. And so in Galatians 5:22, he says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." So during this season of Easter, we continue to reflect on those different fruits of the Holy Spirit that show the resurrection of Christ in a better way and their better light in our own lives. Last Sunday, we spoke about peace as being the main expression of that resurrection of Christ in our lives, and the first one. Today, we enter into that second one that is almost as important, that is that of joy. Almost the first fruit of the resurrection of Christ is joy. Jesus wants to share his victory with the disciples. He comes into that room where the disciples were gathered. He appears to them, and he wants to share the joy of his victory with them. He shows them his hands and his feet, his side. He even says, "See and touch me. It is I." He wants to share with them this great joy that he has. And there we read a very intriguing verse in the gospel that we just read today. The disciples were still incredulous for joy. They were still incredulous for joy. The joy was so overwhelming, they were so overjoyed that they couldn't grasp their minds around what they were experiencing. They experienced a kind of joy that they had never experienced up to that point, up to the moment of the resurrection of Christ. And this is the kind of joy that Jesus wants to share with them. And why are they still incredulous? It's not that they didn't have faith, but it's hard to believe what they're experiencing in that moment. It is what we call too good to be true. They're experiencing a moment where it's too good to be true. I don't think I belong in this type of joy that the risen Christ is sharing with me. But Jesus still wants to share the joy with the disciples and with each one of us. He says, "You're made for joy. You're made for this joy of heaven." That Jesus coming out of the tomb came to anticipate and almost bring to us, offer to each one of us, to hand it over to us. It is a joy that sometimes it could seem too good to be true. And why is it that way? I think it is because we have settled for just the joys of this world. And so sometimes that kind of joy that the risen Christ wants to share with us, the joy of heaven, seems too far-fetched, too far from us. Maybe I don't belong with that joy. And the risen Christ still wants to share that with us. Even if at times we have settled for just the joys of this world, as good as they are, and as wholesome as they could be at times, but they're not quite what Christ wants to share with us. St. John Henry Newman put it in a beautiful way. He said it this way. He said, "Nothing is so pleasant as God's service to those whom it is pleasant. The pleasures of sin are not to be compared in fullness and intensity to the pleasures of holy living. The pleasures of holiness are far more pleasant to the holy than the pleasures of sin are to the sinner. Oh, that I could get you to believe this, to taste and see how gracious the Lord is. None can know, however, the joys of being holy and pure, but the holy. So what he says is that this kind of joy that Christ comes to offer us is only experienced by those who can experience it, who take that step of following him, who go all in. The joy of following Christ is the greatest joy in this life to those who have decided to follow Christ. So once we have decided to follow, we begin to experience these new pleasures, we could say, of the risen Christ in our lives. Someone just recently shared with me in an email, he has gone through an amazing conversion, and last weekend he was leading a retreat for high schoolers from the Hispanic community in the San Juan Diego program that we run. And he's a leader in this program. So after this, you know, great success, this 46 men who came on the retreat, he reflected on his own journey and his own conversion. And so he says in this email, so forgive the formatting because it's an email, but he says, as I entered my parents' house when I went to visit them after the retreat, my mom said, "Son, you look so good." It was more like a whisper or a sigh. And then it hit me. It has worked. The best decision I've made in my whole life was to start praying and let myself be guided. Going through the Alpha Course worked. The retreats have worked. Adoration, the Eucharist, the Mass worked. It worked to pray the Rosary, to go on pilgrimage. It worked to go to confession. And even though I am still battling every day, I feel renewed in my faith, and I feel like I was born again by coming to know Jesus, his Father, and the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful way of encapsulating those greater joys that the risen Christ wants to share with each one of us. He wants to make that available to us. And the joy of heaven is different from the joys from this world in two ways. I think in the first place, in intensity, and in the second place, in an extensive way. In the first place, the joys of heaven are different in intensity. It is not that the holy person, the saint, experiences another order of joys different from this world. In this same world as everybody else, they experience a different intensity of joy. Almost like all the good joys of this world are maximized. And this is, in the first place, because they experience joy according to an order, without expecting more from the experiences that they go through. So they can rejoice and enjoy that meal and that meeting with friends and the weather on that day and a soccer game and all the different things of this world, but in the right order, without asking more from things than what they can give. And so they rejoice in a more intense way. And it also comes from having a clean conscience as going through, you know, this joys of this world. Being able to give yourself to that moment of joy completely without reproaches in your conscience. And that allows you to enjoy the things of this world so much more. So in the first place, the joy that Christ comes to offer, that comes from following him, from being his disciple, from living in him, is different in intensity. You experience that everything becomes so much more solid in this life, more intense. Flavors are more intense for the holy. And in the second place, it is an extensive joy, a joy of things that we didn't experience up to that point, that we didn't even know that existed. And there's so many I would like to point just to. The first one is that of mission and evangelization, of being able to bring someone to Christ, to mentor someone into the faith until they even surpass you and experience that same joy, and even greater than you do. I think there's no greater joy than that in this world, seeing someone grow around you, someone that you brought to the gospel. And the second one is that of worship, being right with God, and be able to pray and to enter the Mass. And maybe someone has experienced this at an Easter vigil, at moments of prayer that were so intense that you experienced that there's nothing more in this world than that. Different prayer moments at retreats or when the Lord speaks to you, when you experience that great joy that only the Lord can give in worship to Him, when our hearts are given to Him again. So it's not only that the joys of this world become more intense, of course, all those good things that there are in this world become more intense, but also there's some new joys that the Lord opens us up to that we didn't even know that they existed. So for a takeaway for this week, as we ponder on this second fruit of the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you to something very practical that we can do during this week to be able to experience this great joy of the risen Christ. And that is very simple, is to do the good during this week, well done. To do the good that we do, well done. A person just shared with me that they decided to do the Bible in a year. And so they bought the Bible that goes with it. They bought a calendar to be able to cross off every single day. They bought a particular journal that they liked in order to make their entries there. They even bought the coffee that they liked the most and only reserved it for that moment during the week when they were doing the Bible in a year. So he shared with me, it became the best half hour of my day, every single day, when I would sit down with my coffee and do the Bible in a year and just ponder on the scriptures. How good it is to do the good, well done. So whatever you need to do this week when you go about studying or working out or whatever we have to do at that moment, to do the good, well done, in a way that you can enjoy it. And you will be able to experience that more intense joy that the risen Christ wants to share with each one of us. We are made for joy. We are made for that joy of heaven. Heaven could be a synonym of joy. We are made for that joy when every tear from our eyes will be wiped away. But the risen Christ has already anticipated that in this life. And He wants to share that with us. It's not only a possibility, but something that is granted to us by the risen Christ.